The long-awaited certificate of secondary school examination results were released last week, and this was reflecting an improvement in students' performance. Well, the pass rates this year was 95.3%, which represents a 3.1% increase from last year's figure, which stood at 92.2%. Now, as much as there are several factors which could be attributed to this positive outcome, there is need to critically analyze the distribution of such results across the country to have a holistic picture of how the education sector is standing like. And I'm proud to be joined in the studio by an academic, Dr. Julia Kerdwan. Good morning, ma'am. Thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Irene, to have me this morning, and Miraya, listeners.
Right. So let us first begin by understanding the education sector in South Sudan. How would you describe it?
Our educational system came a long way. During colonial time, it was under the missionaries. So most of the school were established by missionaries. Then when we had the independent, we carry on from the missionaries to become national priority. And that time, most of the schools in the south were English pattern, whereas the Northern Sudan was doing Arabic pattern. But in the independence 1956, there has been Arabization of the educational system in Sudan as a whole. So they begin to do it bit by bit. They started with Upper Nile, Arabizing most of the Upper Nile schools. Then they came to Barakzal and then to Equatoria. By the time we reached 1964, all the schools which were under English pattern were turned out to become Arabic pattern.
Right.
So it, you know, fall off South Sudan from the system, and then we have to pick up that system again until the war broke out. 1955, it was that struggle up to 60s. Yeah, it was a struggle up to 72 when we have the peace agreement. Then here now we begin to establish the foundation for educational system. So you could see, yeah, the journey, the trend, our educational system has gone in, has gone through too many layers.
Right.
So all the time we have challenges, and those challenges has to be addressed. So when the time come in for that group, they try, then they fall up, and then the new one come like that. So when we started this peace agreement, you know, now the full custodian of South Sudan has become now the South Sudanese themselves running their educational system.
Right.
And from that time, we have been trying very hard to see that, you know, we start a foundation that is very strong to address the issues of foundation for the kids, and especially starting with the early childhood. Like now, we don't have a lot of early childhood programs, and that is a challenge. If the children start at very early age, now you create a very strong foundation. By the time they come to elementary school, now they will be, you now begin to teach them creativity, you know, and thinking, you know, creative thinking,
right,
so that they can be able to master science, you know, social science and that. But in terms of socialization, so things, how they can go along with other people, how you can live with, those are the things we do in the primary school. So that the primary school now builds the literacy of the child, you know,
right,
yeah, which is general. By the time they go to secondary school, that it is now creativity plus critical thinking. Now you begin them, let them begin to think very critically, so that they can be able
to solve,
to solve issues, you know, and things like that. By the time they go to higher education, this is now analytical thinking, and now professionalization of what they have learned in secondary school, so that they become professional. This is the trend of education. But as we in South Sudan, we have been struggling, we have not really mastered to do those things, you know, in layers. And especially the philosophy of education. This is what always drive the type of the person you would like to produce at the end.
Right.
You know, and I have been wondering what is our philosophy of education.
Mm.
And I think if we need to start a stronger education, we need to build our philosophy of education.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And still on this, on the same note, and looking critically about the exams and how this, I mean, looking at it as a trend, secondary education is very critical to this nation, as you have mentioned, because this decides on the number of people who would progress onto the journey of acquiring advanced skills and knowledge in the tertiary institutions.
Yes.
So are these exams, are these exam results a true definition of the aspirations of this nation?
You know, there has been a challenge with us in terms of education in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of outcry has been happening. There is malpractice in some of these stations where education is supposed to be run, and that has been a challenge to us. If we allowed the secondary education to be leaked out,
mm-hmm.
then we are really doing disservice to the country. It is education that builds the country.
Mm.
And education also can bring down the country. It is not only the gun. You know, the gun has a very small, but the big block, if you don't educate your population, that country will never stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So this challenge of leaking examination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Ministry of Education has to be very critical,
right,
on these issues.
So where do you think the loose ends are?
The loose ends are, the laws are there. We have the laws. But the problem that we are not implementing the law.
Mm.
If somebody has really misbehaved or done something wrong by leaking those, that person, if it is me, they should be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't punish, you know, the accountability to what some people who have done wrong, then we are doing disservice to our country.
Right.
We are not doing favorite to that one person.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the whole country?
Right.
So it is a whole country versus one person.
Right.
So we can lose one person and let the whole country be safe.
Right. And speaking about accountability,
mm-hmm.
there's a school in Jonglei that has admitted that some of the students actually were involved in such a practice, and the headmaster has released the names.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason, most of the students have been disqualified. What do you make of that move?
Yeah, that is a good move.
Mm.
For me, not just only disqualified. They could be banned for sometimes not even to be in the system because they are destroying the system. And I remember in the earliest time when we were in school, just the behavior of a teacher, you know, sexual harassment, just only even with the mouth, that teacher will be dismissed completely.
Right, right.
So those are those kind of strong accountability that we need. These students should be banned and will never sit exams, so that they know what they have done is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the teacher who is involved should be dismissed because it's destroying the nation. Mm. It's not destroying only those few students, but the whole nation.
Right. Mm. And now let's look at the strides that we have made through these results, particularly the senior four results. Each year has seen a significant improvement in the examination results.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that we have finally mastered the art of imparting knowledge in our students?
We have a lot of challenge, Irene.
Mm-hmm.
There are challenges in the school's system now. We have teachers who are not well trained. That is one, is a bottleneck. If you have, you know, a primary two graduated and become a teacher, teaching other students, that is not. We remember we do have teachers training centers. We need, you know, to reestablish or upgrade or reestablish them back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Meridi Teachers Training College,
mm-hmm.
like Nazareth Teachers Training College, Malakal Teachers Training College, Kator Teachers Training College. Yeah, there's so many. Opari.
Are they not functional right now?
I think that Ministry of Education will answer it. But I think if we go back to that kind of system, as centers where we train teachers so that they can be able to master, to become professional.
Mm.
We are not professionalizing education now, but we need to go back to where we have professional teachers,
mm.
you know,
mm.
where they graduated from secondary school, they go for diploma for 2 years to be trained in method of teaching. And then from there, they are taken to school. Also, schools of education, you know, in these five national universities, they should really build that one up to begin to train teachers now. Not just training people going to college of education, and then they end up doing other things.
Right.
Those are the ones we should channel. You know, by the time they finish at the university, we distribute them to schools, in that way we can be able to strengthen our educational system.
Right. Mm. Well, you mentioned severally about the challenges that the education sector is facing, and I would say that this is mostly affecting the public schools.
Yeah.
But official figures suggest that most of the great performers in our exams are from private schools. What would you attribute this to?
We have to supervise those private schools. We should not just leave them at large. You know, there has to be a lot of regulations so that they can follow. You know, this private school, we don't know what they are teaching. We need to know what philosophy of education they are using and what kind of curriculum they are using. So that, you know, those in the private school, those in public school, they are learning the same knowledge, you know, which is at the end of their schooling, we have produced a kind of a product that is worth, you know, a professional in this country. So we should have regulations that we should oversee. There used to be, you know, school supervisors going. And I remember when I was, I graduated from Medeni Teachers Training College, where I signed our first, you know, assignment, where every week the supervisor will come and see what you are doing. And then when they are sure that, then it will be every year they will come now. They go from school to school. They will go in your classroom. They will see how you are teaching. They will see how the students are responding, all those kind of things. And they will make, you know, notes. And that will be a report that will come back to your school for your promotion. Right. Or you can get, you know, an award.
Right.
Yeah, we need to go back to that one.
Right, and just to get clarity from what you were trying to explain to me, are you saying that the private schools are probably going way ahead? Are they not following the curriculum?
I don't know, since but when I was in the university, you know, most of the schools are doing their own. They are not being supervised. We need to go back to supervision.
Right.
And I hope Madame Awood is trying very, very hard now with the Undersecretary, Dr. Kuyok, that, you know, we need education. That's what build the country. So if our educational system is very strong,
right,
we will be proud. We can compete internationally, nationally, regionally. You know, any person that graduate from South Sudan, you can work anywhere.
Right.
You know, these are kind of products we want.
Right. And looking at the fact that the schools are not at the same level, private and public schools, would this have any impact on the future of the entire education system in South Sudan?
Yes, it will have an impact, because if the students are learning different things, then you don't have really a knowledge. You know, like some of the students learning about history of Kenya or Uganda, we are not learning our own history. So if you go to public school, they're learning South Sudan or Sudan, you know, or African history. Whereas you go to our kids who have learned Kenyan history, you know, then you have now different knowledge.
Right.
Those who are having outside knowledge, they will not be acquainted with the challenges and critical thinking in South Sudan. Yeah, they will always see themselves as if they are not in their country. But once you teach them their history, their culture, you know, they have that bound, you know. That is what people do all over the world.
Right.
You remember, during the Indian struggle, Gandhi said, I want an Indian which is entrepreneurial, an Indian which is a critical. And you have seen India today.
Yeah.
Their educational system is very strong.
Thriving.
And from there, you see them all over the world. You know, these are kind of, because cultural foundation of education is very strong.
So how do we achieve that?
We have to impact it in our educational system. Yeah, so that bound of our kids to their history, to their social culture, their norms, their the way they do it, at the end of it, we will see that a strong South Sudanese who is very critical, very analytical and professional in their work.
Right.
And then from there, they can work in other places. Mm-hmm. You know, wherever we go now, who are teaching mathematics? When you go to the West, it is the East, you know, the Chinese,
right. Yes, of course.
The Koreans.
They made their name there.
Yeah, they made their, so we have to make our name also.
Yes, Dr. Julia, in these results, they've been showing attempts of... like you said, we've come a long way. Have you seen any deliberate program by the government to ensure that there are improvements in the sector?
Yes, there are areas that they have improved. Like when they did the curriculums for national curriculum for the whole, for the primary school, secondary school. Yeah, that is an achievement. Mm. And that's where we have to build on. You know, so that... because you cannot fix it in one time, you have to work through it until you master it.
Mm.
So that one of the achievements. The other thing, the ministry has been working very hard to see that the funding that comes from our partners is well used, so that we can build up, you know, the educational system in the country. Also, we have to increase our budget. There is now educational budget, but for me, I see it is very small. We need really to put our head, you know, as a young country now, let us put our head in building education as a priority. Mm. And then we come to the health. You know, if you bring these two going together, then now you build a better system in the country, so that you can be able to achieve what you want. So these few achievements, we can build on them to improve them and then be able to have a better system in the country.
Right. And just to borrow a leaf from the neighboring countries, one of our neighbors in the region, Kenya, they've opted to embrace competence-based curriculum in their education system. Do you see our current system effectively responding to the demands of the labor market?
It is not, because we are still very weak. And the labor market is really demanding more on us. We have neglected, technical education. If we really wanted to address the issues of labor market, we have to start to do technical education or polytechnic education, so that not everybody goes to the university. You know, some of the people that are interested to work with their hands, you know, so that we have to, encourage that. So that those who work with their own hands, you know, can go to polytechnic and build on it. And this is where you address the issues of the market demand. So our educational system is not competitive to market demand. And we need to come back to that. I remember we used to have, you know, Joburg Commercial School. Then there are polytechnic secondary schools which were there, technical school. This is where you build... people who can, the architectures,
right.
You know, people who can build bricks, you know, engineering, all those kind of people. Mm. If you have that, then you now address your challenge in the country. And then you can have those people who want to go start being politicians and going to the university, become analytical, you know, and then, but you have addressed the bulk of the challenges that face you in the country.
That's
if
right.
You, yeah, if
right.
you build up that matching of the market, you know, labor market plus, you know, the kind of education system you provide. You know, like every year, like other countries, every year they analyze how is the labor market, what do they need, and this is where you will tilt your students to that, the demand of the market, you tilt your students. So when they come out, they find jobs. But here now we are graduating so many accountants, and they just... floating everywhere. They want to only to be in Ministry of Finance. You know, Ministry of Finance is the only one.
Right. Just a single position.
Just a single position. Hmm. So we need also, you know, the companies which are small industries, you know, to be built up. So that our kids, they see that when I go to Polytechnic, I can get a job, you know, with the Euro Oil Mill.
Right.
As an HR, as an accountant, chemistry specialist in analytical things and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the kids will have now, you know, audacity to go to school because they will be able to get their job.
Mm.
But now we are sending them to school, they are out sitting under the tree. It is demoralizing all of us. You know, not only those kids. For me as an educator, I really feel so bad. We need to, we graduated these five universities from the private university. Every year you see now graduation.
Yeah.
Where are we taking those kids? They're nowhere. They are just under the tree, drinking tea, talking, you know, and they are losing even what they have learned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so as a country, we really need to begin, you know, what is our educational system? What is the job, the labor market? And then we tilt our education to address those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we will not be able to. Now we have Kenyans coming in. We have, you know, we have Ugandan coming in, Ethiopian, you know, look at the market.
Mm.
You know, Eritreans, Sudan, they are the one in the market doing businesses. And where are our people?
Mm.
You know, we need to begin to think critically for that. Yeah, as
right.
as a nation. Yeah.
Right. So mm. which areas should South Sudan prioritize in for an effective education sector?
Yeah, we need to do polytechnic. Education need to be, you know, to be heightened. We need to push it up and also encourage the kids. Sometimes people are discouraging those kids. You know, if you go to, you know, Mahantisin, you become a laborer. That is not it. You know, that knowledge for you even just to invent a pen or reproduce a pen, that is a big, you know,
invention
big contribution.
Means, yeah.
Yeah, contribution to the country.
Mm.
So we should not only discourage our kids not to go to polytechnic, but we should encourage them to become an engineer. We need them to build our homes, you know. We need them to address the issues, you know, specialists in the Nile, agriculture, you know, about the fish. Like this country, we are full of fish in the Nile, everywhere, wherever you go. We need to have specialists
right.
in that. So we need to encourage this polytechnic
mm-hmm.
more so that once we have settled, now we can be able to move smoothly with the other areas of education.
All right. Mm. Well, Dr. Julia, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today.